message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
Give you praise. I ask that tonight you will use me to bless your people in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' sweet name I've prayed. Praise the Lord. This 12 days has been so awesome. In the last 7 days or the last 6 days has been awesome. And it's getting hotter and hotter by the day. Yesterday was awesome. How I wish our senior pastor could give us a part two of that yesterday's message. It was too loaded. If you were not in yesterday's service, I will appeal to you, like someone that really loves you, to please get a message. Get your own copy of the CD. Even if you were in yesterday's service, you still need to get it and listen and listen and listen. It was too loaded. The Lord bless you more, sir, in Jesus' name. Tonight, briefly, I'll be speaking on habits for showers of blessings. Habits for showers of blessing. Now, I'll just speak four. Number one, habits for showers of blessing. Habits are things that are part of you. Things that has formed, like something that has become you. It has almost become something that you regularly do on a daily basis. If you are a candidate of blessing, or if you want to be one, there are a whole lot of them, but this important four is what, if you can put them in your life, if it has been in your life, work on them more. And I assure you, Jesus will visit you with great showers of blessings this year in the name of Jesus. I said he will visit you with great showers this year in the name of Jesus. Habit number one is hard work. Hard work. Proverbs chapter 10 verse 4. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. A diligent person is a hard-working person. The hand of the diligent maketh rich. Proverbs 12:24. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule. In other words, the one who is diligent, the one who is hardworking will always be blessed. The one who is hardworking will always be at the top. Brethren, hard work is one of the escape routes of hard life. If you must enjoy blessings, hard work is one of the escape routes of hard life. And I tell you tonight, as I open more lights, I know that God will give you grace to work harder in Jesus' name. The blessing of God is always in search of hard workers. Tell your neighbor, it is always in search of hard workers. Abraham, our father in faith, worked brutally hard. So hard that the Bible made us understand that 318 servants were born in his house. Servants. For somebody to control 318 servants, that person must be a hardworking person. And honestly, his son, Isaac, was also so hardworking. So if you are not hardworking, who do you look like? Then you are just a fill it in the gap yourself. When our own fathers in the faith were people that were hardworking and there were records to show, Isaac was a man that inherited so much wealth. I was imagining that if we had a modern day Isaac, he might be somebody that would say, after all, the only heir to Abraham, that even Ishmael was not the heir. If you read your Bible very well, you'll notice that Abraham settled Ishmael and told him to go. Settled him so that when he dies, there won't be any dispute over will. Just like people here, we usually dispute over will. Praise the Lord. But Isaac was the only heir. Yet, the Bible recorded that he worked hard. How do I know he worked hard? In Genesis chapter 26, verse 18 to 22. Genesis 26, 18 to 22. Genesis 26, all right. And Isaac digged again. Somebody say, dig again. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged it in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had, after the death of Abraham, and he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. The next verse. And Isaac's servant digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. The next verse. And the headmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's headmen, saying, "The water is ours," and he called the name of the well Issac, because they strove with them. Verse 21, and they digged another well and strove for that also. That's the second well again they were striving for. And he called the name of that Sitnah. Verse 22, and he removed from thence and digged another well. You know something? Somebody who is the son of an influential man, a wealthy man, not just a local wealth, but a transgenerational wealth. For you and I seated here tonight, for you seated here tonight, our wealth will be transgenerational. We are still talking about Abraham till date. Why? Because of the level of blessings he commanded. Isaac couldn't have sustained that wealth if he was not hardworking himself. The Bible makes us record that he dug the first well that his father had dug before, which made me to understand that he didn't go to dig a fresh well. He followed the footsteps of his father. When he went to dig the well, that which his father had dug before, he followed the footsteps of his father. And then when he got there, the Philistines collected the well from him and, "Look, get away." Some of us, we chicken out in life so much. Some people are working. I want to open up our eyes something. Some people will tell you, "I'm hardworking. At least I have a job." Having a job, doing something, is not equals to hard work. Hard work is giving it all it takes, putting all yourself in that work, and ensuring that nothing comes out of there, that place, other than success. Then that is when I know you are hardworking. Because look at Isaac. He could have chickened out when the first time that the Philistines came to collect the well. He would have just said, "Look, I've tried, and God sees I've tried." And then the camels that needed to drink water from that well may have died via thirst. But he said no. Some people chicken out, economy is bad, so and so is on, high fuel price. There is no excuse tenable enough to reduce your work effect. It should make you work harder, irrespective of whatever you are facing part time. What we are facing part time is not new. In the days of Isaac, people struggled the well with him. And you know something? Those people that struggled the well, it was not theirs, yet they collected it. He left it, dug another one, until, you know something? Principles are stronger than principalities. Principle of hard work. Keep working until you outwork your enemies. It will get to a level whereby they will give up. When they collected the first well, the second well, the third well, they got tired of collecting. But the person who was the hardworking person was not tired of doing the work. Tell your neighbor, don't be tired of working. When you are tired of working, then you have given in, you have allowed the enemy a room in your business or your life. May you not allow that in the name of Jesus. May you not allow that in the name of Jesus. This year you will outwork your enemies. Whatever situation or challenges that come, just know yourself that they are not new. Principles are stronger than principalities. They are. Keep working, and the more you work, they will definitely give up at some point. Over your life, the enemy will give up. In the name of Jesus. I said, over your life, the enemy will give up. Is somebody saying a better amen? Amen. This year, make up your mind to work harder than last year. You worked hard last year, yes, but make up your mind this year to work harder. Your best energy. Give it your best. There is no witch or wizard that can stop you. Tell your neighbor, no witch, no wizard can stop me this year. Blessings don't locate lazy men. No, blessings don't locate lazy men. They are for the hard-working people. Blessings don't locate them. God blesses the work of your hands. When you have nothing doing, when blessings come, there is nowhere it will perch. There is nowhere it will dwell. The work of your hands is what God will bless. Don't, you know, personally, I don't like it when I hear some people say, "I'm a full-time housewife." I'm a full-time housewife, full-time liability. I was telling counseling some people yesterday, I said, if I were to get married to the, you know, I made up that decision way back, even before I got married. Assuming I got married to the president, let's assume, and then he's the president, everybody knows that he commands a whole lot of resources, I will still work. Not because I don't have my husband won't give me what to spend. But because I want to add more value to my life. I want to add more value to the economy. I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say. There is joy when you work and you are paid for it. There is dignity in what I'm telling you. And it is biblical. In Proverbs chapter 31, you will see that virtuous woman, she considered a field. Bible says she buyeth it with her own money. Oh, Rani. A field, not a field. Do you know how big a field is? It's not one leg. A field, she considers it. For her to have considered it, she must have more than that in her bank accounts. So please, this year, some people will tell you, I'm a graduate, I have not found work yet. Work, if you have not found a white collar job, you mean, look for one yourself. If you can't create one yourself, you don't understand? Some people will tell you, I'm a graduate, I've sat down at home for years. I don't have respect for such graduates. If respect, see, Pastor told us a story of somebody in this town. He's not dead. He's still in this town. He has SSC certificate. Yet he employed many people that are holders of MSc, BSc. Yeah. But he did not start on that ground other than the platform of hard work. Tell your neighbor, hard work pays. Hard work pays. When God was looking for whom to anoint as a king, he didn't go to Eliab. He saw the lazy Eliab in the house. Lazy Shammah and what was the other third? Abinadab. He didn't anoint them. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 17 verse 34. Quickly we'll read. 1 Samuel 17. 17 verse 34 to 36. He didn't anoint those ones. But he sought for David. Do you know why he sought for David? David was the only one. When Samuel came, they found every other of the lazy sons of Jesse in the house. But the one that was hard working was on the field. Excuse me, that's not the only, you know, many of us, especially for nowadays, if your mom has about four kids or five, and you are the only one that keeps attending to the sheep, for some of us, it's not only me that I'm your child now, mommy, send Bukola, send Buki, send Tayo, send Remy, send this one. Why? Because we feel at least they also have equal rights to the property. At least we have. But for David himself to take it upon himself as a personal responsibility, yet didn't feel cheated personally. And not just that, look at verse 34. And David said unto Saul, do you know what? His hard work that was not seen by his family members then. He was more like, Pastor Moshebi was trying to explain something. He said David was more of a servant in his own house. He was more of a servant. The mentality of a diligent person is more of a servant. When you have that mentality, then you will give it your best. As more as he might think he was a servant then, God was recording it. And the day honor came, honor visited him. Tonight, honor will visit you in the name of Jesus. Bible says, and David said unto Saul, the hard work that was not seen by the family later became a testimony for all to see. He said, and David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion. He had an account. When a lion came, and a bear came, and took a lamb out of the flock. Excuse me, let me use somebody as an example. If it is your father's sheep, he kept 100 in your care, and a lion came to just take only one, be candid, what will you do? You will quickly turn the remaining 99 and say, Leah, my father would rather have me alive than dead. But this man called David, so full of resilience, and you know, he gave it all his best and said, no, I must account for just that one. He went after the lion, damning all the consequences. Did you think God did not see that? On another day, bear came. He went after the bear, damning all the consequences. This year, enough of just going to work on a normal, do something extra. Something that was not normal. Not every shepherd goes after one, just one. If he took half of it, we'll have said, okay, let's try and rescue the part of it that it was just one. And he didn't just take, he took back, if you read further, he took it from the mouth of the lion and took the lion himself, destroyed it. What an energy. God was recording all of that. And if you know, then before then there was no actual one-on-one thing with David, with God then. But all these accounts made me to believe that God said, if you can be so hardworking with the number of stock of sheep your father kept in your care and none was lost, I can commit a nation to you. Your hard work is what commands the level of blessings you can control. The level of blessings you control is the level of hard work you put into it. Your hard work, your boss may not see you. I hear. Jesse didn't notice him. As far as I'm concerned, he just knew that he was on the field. Because if he knew so much, he would have said, my son, I value your life more than this. If it is a bear and a lion, then stay at home. Or let your brothers help you, assist you. Let them go with you. But there was no record of that. That's to tell you that hard work pays. Tell your neighbor, hard work pays. Hard work pays. There is no lazy man that can enjoy blessings. If you ever see any lazy man who is blessed, check it out. That same laziness will kill the blessings. Mm-hmm. How do I know that? Proverbs 24, verse 30 to 33. Proverbs 24, 30 to 23. If you ever see a lazy man that's got blessings, that laziness will kill. He said, I went by the field of the slothful. The slothful is a lazy man. In other words, the lazy man had a field. He had something. I went by the field of a lazy man and by the vineyard of a man void of understanding. The next verse. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles and covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. The next verse. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. Poverty. That's it. That's the next verse. It comes. So shall their, I don't want to just die. So shall their poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy wants as an armed man. Praise the Lord. That slothful man had a field. So he had a blessing. He had some fault. But he refused to nurture it. And just because of his laziness, instead of getting wealth and being blessed from that, it diminished. May your blessing never diminish. In the name of Jesus. God wants to baptize you in this year with great resources. But your effort, hard work is needed. As a student, putting everything you've got, hard work pays. Put it all. You know, when I was very much younger in my university days, I used to have a friend. She told me, Falakemi, I'm very pretty. I cannot come and stress myself. I'm fine. So a rich man would definitely get married to me. I said, that's a very funny mentality. But thank God she changed her orientation. She, you know, I was trying to cajole her to do I can then. But she said, no, I don't want to stress myself. They have this notion that once you are pretty, automatically a rich man should come to you. But hello, I have seen so many ladies that are very pretty. Yet, very, even the poor, call them poor. Why? Because they refuse to walk. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. If you see somebody who is hardworking, have you ever seen an Owala before? Someone that has a tribal mark. The one that looks like their lion has beaten them. Like 3-3, making 6. A woman. I have seen one. It's not a joke this time around. She used to be my bunkmate then in university. Honestly. But because of the level of resources this lady commands, the skin was almost evening out with the tribal marks. You won't know until you go close and say, you even have this thing. Honestly. What am I trying to say? There's nothing called I'm ugly. Or once there is good money. Honestly. If you're a lady, if you notice, if a guy that you think is not fine, it's not so fine. It's not even fine at all. Okay. Let God bless that man with good wealth. Honestly. Like pastor will say, could they bad? No. Okay, Gony. You know. You know, pastor will always say that. Latest car. I say, ding, 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 from the car. And then as he opens his car like this, you see, that kind of AC. Not the one that you'll be funny and say, he told it there. This one, he told it everywhere. Praise the Lord. He steps down. The shirt itself, it's correct. It is with perfume. Oh, God, Mary. The shoe is speaking. The watch is speaking. He may not be too tall. We ladies like TDH, tall, dark, and handsome. This one, even if it is short, fair, and ugly. SFU. As long as it looks very nice. By the time he sees good packaging, good money, the so-called person you did not give a second look, you will keep staring. Why? Money changes a lot of things. As a lady, don't marry a lazy man. Young men, don't marry a lazy woman. It takes two. Gone are those days when they say ladies, now ladies work, they support. If you get married to somebody who does not, who is not ready to work, that wants to sleep on you, you have gotten married to a parasite. Yes. But you never have a parasitic relationship. Number two, faithfulness. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. Bible says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Faithfulness must be part of you if you must be, if you must enjoy blessings. Faithfulness must be part of you. Tell anybody, must be part of you. What is faithfulness? Many of us don't know the meaning, but in my own understanding and my own definition, to be faithful means A, to be committed. When you are committed, you are in choir, you are committed. You are at work, you have a work, you have a business you are doing. You don't open on Monday and Tuesday, you don't open again. You open on Monday, Tuesday, you went to mountain Kilimanjaro to pray. Wednesday, you open. In that business of yours, you are not committed. In choir, they see you today to sing. The following Sunday, you are not available. You are not, if you are not committed, it means you are not faithful. A faithful person is a committed man or a committed woman. A faithful person is a consistent person. Be consistent. You are consistent. Faithfulness is being consistent, not being followed up all the time. You are not in church today, you are not in church tomorrow. Consistency. You are in service. Be faithful. Consistency. You have a business. Today, pure water business. Tomorrow, you say it is not selling. I move to beans. Beans is not selling today. I hear that clipper is the reigning thing now. You move to clipper business. Be consistent. Don't get me wrong. You can have fleets of businesses. However, be consistent. So that, do you know something? I don't want to take it too deep into economics or accounting. But there's something we call, you can have loss. There's something we call, if you don't open your business, your shop now, for example, you have a shop or you have an office. Today you open, tomorrow you don't open. There's something called when you lock your shop, cost of locking that place is a lot more expensive than what you think. If you lock a place now, you lock it up. The following day you open. The third day you lock it up. Maybe it is the day you lock it up that you have great businesses come looking for you or great customers come looking for you. In other words, be consistent. Whatever you are doing, be consistent. As long as you are consistent, the Bible says, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. A faithful person. Who is a faithful person? One who is committed, who is consistent. And then three, be available when you are meant to be available. Faithfulness is being available when you are meant to be available. Be available. Be available. In your choir rehearsals, be available. And then number four, a faithful person is a reliable person. And you are dependable. Are you dependable? Are you reliable? As a worker in church, as a staff in an organization, are you dependable? Are you reliable? Can you be trusted? As a young man, brother Tosin. Somebody needs an accommodation. Please, my younger sister, can you just pass the night in your house? I quickly have to get somewhere. A pretty young sister of mine. Can you be trusted, brother Tosin? There's no brother Tosin here, right? And if there is one, I'm not referring to you. Praise the Lord. Can you be trusted with that pretty lady? You ask sister A out today. Tomorrow you ask sister B out. You are not faithful. The Bible says an unstable man. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. If a man is not faithful, it means you are unstable. Opposite of faithfulness is unstable. An unstable person is, someone who is not stable, someone who is not faithful, is unstable, a double-minded man. If you are not faithful, you are double-minded. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. If somebody is unstable, can he attract blessings? No. Be faithful. Be faithful. You have been kept in charge of something. Oh, the cost is 5 naira. You add your own 2 naira because you feel you want to. No, your boss may not know, yes. But you have just deprived yourself of a lifetime blessing. Be faithful. You have been assigned to take care of something. Can you be trusted with money? Joseph was trusted with the empire of that man. Joseph was trusted with the empire of his master. Even the master's wife was there. He didn't do anything. Hallelujah. And God saw his faithfulness and made him to become a prime minister. Joseph did not fit that place because he wasn't even a member. He's not he's a foreigner. If they're supposed to vote, they should vote for people that are, indigenous or citizens of that place. Yet, God brought him out and distinguished him because of his faithfulness. Faithfulness will distinguish you. Tell your neighbor, faithfulness will distinguish you. God does not have scarcity of blessings. He only has shortage of faithful people. The more faithful you are, the more blessings will flow to your side. And they won't just flow, they will keep flowing. The level of blessedness is determined by the level of faithfulness you display. If your faithfulness to God will increase, then God is set to bless you more. This year, from today, God will bless you more. In the name of Jesus. Be dependable. Don't be a chameleon. Look at the story of Jacob and Laban in Genesis chapter 31, verse 38 to 41. Genesis 31, verse 38 to 41. I'm sure we all know the story of Jacob and Laban. Jacob was working for Laban. He worked for his uncle, the wicked and shrewd uncle, that after 7 years as agreed, he was supposed to give him, Rachel, but turned it, gave him Leah instead. Okay, no problem. He served again, 7 years again for Leah. This wicked man, very wicked, after 14 years of serving, instead of, at least he got married two of your daughters, yet you still want, you said no, he can't go yet until he works. He opted to work for him. But you know something? This man still went about cheating him. Why is this story relevant to us tonight? Your faithfulness, even when it is not seen by your boss, God in heaven that records it will bless you. This man, being his uncle, his own blood, cheated him. But please, let's go back to that place. That verse 38, Genesis 31 verse 38. Look at what Jacob said. He says, "These 20 years have I been with thee. Thy ewes and thy she-goats have not cast their young." It means, and that was, none has been missing. "And the rams of thy flock have I not eaten." Quickly. "That which was torn of beasts, I brought it unto thee." I brought it not. He didn't bring them. "I bear the loss of it. Of my hands did thou require it. Whether it was stolen by day or stolen by night." What a wicked uncle. What a wicked father-in-law. "Thus I was. In the day the drought consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep departed from my eyes." The next verse. "Thus have I been 20 years in thy house, having spent 20 years in a man's house." Normally, even Igbos, there's a particular number of years you spend with them. Maybe 5 years as an oga, they do freedom for you. They settle you. It's either they give you maybe 1.5 million, you start your own business. I don't know how big, but they usually settle them well big. And then you know that this person has been well settled. But this person, after 20 years of slavery, I call it slavery, yet he still didn't want to settle this man. And keep reading. He said, "I served thee 14 years for thy two daughters, 6 years for thy cattle. Thou hast changed my wages 10 times. Let's assume he was supposed to collect, after settlement, he was supposed to collect 10,000 naira. But yet, Laban offered him 1,000 naira. What for? If you have been faithful to an unfaithful boss, God sees all of that. And the God that saw all that blessed showed up to Laban and said, if you touch him, you are a dead meat. You can read further because of our time. God stood up for Jacob. When you are faithful, and even when your earthly boss, you are not seen. You know, some of us, I find it very funny. You are working in church, or maybe as, you know, in a particular department, you know, and you are not committed, you are not faithful. You just feel, my efforts are not being seen. I've tried. You are not working for man. You are working for God. The God that you are working for. You know, sometimes when we call somebody, we didn't see you in church. Why? Say, I didn't feel like coming. I don't know if I can ask that same person. If you had work, you didn't feel like working on Monday. No, I didn't feel like going to work on Monday and I didn't go show up. Tuesday, they asked for you in your place of work. I didn't feel like going to work and I didn't work. Wednesday, I didn't feel like and you didn't work. By month end, they won't feel like paying you salary. In fact, they will feel like sacking you. That's the truth. If as ordinary men can think like that, then it's sometimes very disheartening when we cannot find faithful people in the house of God. When you walk with a man, he knows how to calculate. Do you think God does not calculate better? God that saw the efforts of Jacob in the house of Laban for 20 years, knew how, and he settled him big. The way he settled Jacob, settled him big, and overnight, the wealth of Laban that had been sustained became wretched in front of Jacob. Why? Because God of faith. Our God is a faithful God. Ever faithful. Please, in whatever course, in whatever, wherever you find yourself, remember this scripture. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Let that scripture keep ringing in your head. Anywhere you find yourself, be faithful. Tell your neighbor, be faithful. Faithfulness. When you are faithful, a faithful man abounds with blessing. It means the more faithful you are, the more you grow. Abound means to grow. The more faithful you are, the more you grow with blessing. Tell your neighbor, you will grow with blessing. Number three, stewardship. Kingdom stewardship is about donating oneself to the advance of the kingdom project. What is stewardship? Stewardship is donating yourself. You donate yourself, your time, your resources, so that the work of God can move forward. You know, I'll just quickly summarize this one. In Genesis chapter 49, verse 5 to 7, Jacob was dishing out blessings to his children, predictions. And you know something? What he predicted about Levi was not so good. He said, Simon and Levi are brethren. Instruments of cruelty are in their habitation. Verse 6. Oh my soul, come not thou into their secret. If you can read further. Jacob was not happy with Levi. But something happened to this Levi. Much later, when Moses needed people to work for God. In Numbers, we can read later by ourselves. Exodus chapter 32, verse 25 to 27. Exodus 32, verse 25 to 27. Moses needed people. And he said, who are those that can work for God? Who are those? The sons of Levi showed up. If you read later, you can read the latter verse. And when the sons of Levi showed up, they executed the work that God assigned to Moses to farming for them to do. And when they did that work, guess what happened? They worked for God. And the curse that had been placed upon them by their father, Levi, was immediately. You know, normally when Israel was rescued from Egypt, God swore the last plague that happened to them, the killing of the firstborns. God said, look, I have killed the firstborns of Egyptians for you. Every firstborn of Israel must serve me. There are those that must serve me. But when the sons of Levi donated themselves to God's service, you know what happened? God canceled that rule immediately and said, look, I think I prefer these people to serve me. He removed the firstborn. Instead of, you can read that in Numbers chapter 8 verse 14 and Numbers 3 verse 12. Instead of you people, firstborn, serving me, let these Levites, let them be my own inheritance. And when you have God as your inheritance, what do you think you have? Sure blessings. Sure blessings. There is no better place. There is no better one you can serve other than our God. This year, donate yourself. Just like the children. When you donate yourself to God in service, you know what happened? Curse that has been fighting, if that cause has been fighting in your father, on your own time, look at this, look at what happened to these sons of Levi. They donated themselves to God. And just by that attitude of service, what was said over them many years ago was cancelled. Every negative thing said concerning you that is affecting you, hindering you from moving forward, tonight as you rededicate your service to Him, the Lord will cancel everything called cost in your life in the name of Jesus. The Lord will move you forward in the name of Jesus. You know, service is about not doing eye service. Being acceptable service. Don't just say you are in this particular department. Your service to God, is it acceptable? Hallelujah. Exodus 23:25. And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and He will bless your bread and your waters. Your blessing lies in your service. Your blessings lies in your service. Exodus 23:25. Your blessing lies in your service. In Malachi chapter 3 verse 17 to 18, we can also read where God made a clear distinction between those that serve Him and those that don't serve Him. This year, the Lord is going to, just like He made a clear distinction between the children of Israel and the Egyptians, I tell you, this year, serve God the more. Donate yourself, your time, for Him the more. Without, you know, the kind of service I'm talking about, donate, complete donation, and expect the best from God this year. Great blessings are coming for you in the name of Jesus. I said great blessings are coming for you in the name of Jesus. You know, Zechariah and Elizabeth kept serving. They kept serving until their challenges gave way. When you serve God unconditionally, your challenge, that thing that looks like a problem will give way. It will give way. It must give way. It gave way for Zechariah and Elizabeth. The Bible still called it that when the angel came, they were on duty. Zechariah was met on duty. Look at that woman that was bent over for 18 years. She was bent over for 18 years. When Jesus came into the temple, Jesus met her in the temple, and her deliverance came that just that moment. If you read further down in that particular Luke chapter 13 or so, he said, and that woman, she was a daughter of Abraham. So please, devote yourself to God this year. And I tell you, God will settle you greatly in Jesus' name. And lastly, be prudent. Tell your neighbor, be prudent. In a nutshell, prudence means decreasing your expenditure and increasing your investments. If you must enjoy showers of blessings this year, you must refuse to live an expenditure-centered life. Blessings will come just like this. If you can do the first three, you are hardworking. Number two is what? Faithful. You are faithful. Number three, you are involved in kingdom service. When those blessings come, be prudent. Be prudent. God blesses you, and then don't spend it all. Somebody comes to see you and say, "Ah, hello, Tayo, how are you?" Ah, you say, "Ah, Sister Lavanya, how are you? Ah, I just got back from the UK." "Ah, really? I appreciate you. I appreciate you too. And I bought a jacket for you. I'm selling those jackets actually." You say, "Oh, okay, that's nice. How much is one?" "It's not so much. Oh, it's just 40,000 naira." You say, "Oh, wow." Deep down, your salary is just 20,000, and you know it. But because you didn't want to disappoint Sister Buki that was selling the jacket, you say, "Ah, okay." And you can even pay instantly. You can pay. She's the one offering, you can pay some. You can even pay. Anytime you have the money, give it to me. They will come and dump it in you. Please be prudent this year. Avoid such. You know, some people are ashamed to tell somebody that I can't buy it. I don't know. Who are you forming for? You will buy it and start drinking the garri inside your house. Some people will tell you, "This thing I'm buying, my lomu garri." Then why do you want to buy it? You praise the Lord. Avoid unnecessary spending. Tell your neighbor, avoid unnecessary spending. There's a difference between, there's something we call hunter mentality and a shepherd mentality. Poor people have hunter mentality. Rich people have shepherd mentality. Hunter mentality is a hunter goes to the bush with the mind of killing just an animal. When he kills, his job is over. He takes the animal, he goes to eat it, and then he goes back looking for another animal to kill. That's a hunter mentality. A shepherd mentality gets animals, raises them, reproduces them. If he desires to eat one, takes one, eats, and reproduces others. He doesn't eat the initial one. A hunter mentality is you have a salary. All your salary, you spend it all at the end of 1 month. You now wait again for another salary the following month. That's a hunter mentality. Every hunter mentality tonight will die. A shepherd mentality, you have money. Let's assume you got a contract of 1 million naira. You first pay your tithe. Then you look for an avenue to invest the others. Oh, let me put it in fixed deposits. Let me do this, let me do that. And then you spend probably part of it. You have invested, you have multiplied that which came into your hands. Blessings are for shepherds. Esau and Jacob, look at the two of them. Esau was a hunter. Jacob was a shepherd. Esau just wanted to get venison, kill it, boom. But Jacob multiplied in the house of Laban a whole lot. Get a shepherd mentality. Tonight, I've come to encourage us. If you can put all these four into place, my time is fast spent. I want us to pray tonight. Put all these four into place. And I tell you, God is set to bless you greatly this year in the name of Jesus. This year, you will enjoy great blessings like never before. This year, God is opening you to resources that you have never handled before in the name of Jesus. Jump on your feet as you begin to appreciate God tonight.
Wow! I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878. Or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org. Appreciate you.